Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, come here. It's time for preparing for battle with Tars. No ear tickling here, just what we need to prepare for the battle.
¡Mira! ¡Mira! ¡Allá! ¡Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Preparing for Battle. This is your host, Roz, and Dorothy.
And it looks like you may have L.A. on. Is that you, L.A.?
Yeah, I'm on, guys.
Okay.
Good afternoon, L.A. Thank you for coming on the show. I know you're busy.
My pleasure.
Is our other guest with us, Dorothy, or?
Nope, just L.A.
Okay. Well, let's just go with it until he gets here. It's been a long time since Ellie's been on the program. He's been busy. I know he's been traveling around and doing some things. Can we get a little update, Ellie, as to what you've been up to? And let's just get started on, you know, what's been going on and what your thoughts are.
Well, I've been doing a lot of traveling. I just got back from Prophecy in the News last week, and the week before that we were in Dallas. At a fairly good-sized conference there, which was interesting, and working on a book called On the Trail of a Nephilim. And that's it. Just very, very busy right now. Lots of research going on.
Right. And how? And what are your thoughts on just how things are just going on out there, how the ball's rolling, and seems like, you know, events and things are taking place, you know, just a lot more frequent and a lot faster. I think even 2 years ago, you know, just things were just not as moving along as they are.
Yeah, I think we're reaching a point, what I would call a critical mass. I actually blogged about this, I think yesterday. The idea that the collapse of a dollar, when Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, who, look, the guy, love him or hate him, that doesn't matter. The bottom line is the guy is very intelligent, and he's very much on top of the political landscape and what is really happening. And for O'Reilly to talk about the collapse of the dollar on his talking points, to me, was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just absolutely huge. And, you know, he's right. Something other people have been rattling this for, you know, wrong verbiage. Other people have pointed this out for the last year or 2 years. I've talked about it plenty of times, but now we're at the point where at $16, $17 trillion, whatever the number is,
mm-hmm.
the fact that the government continues to spend, it's unsustainable, and we know that. And at some point, the house of cards will come down.
Mm-hmm.
And what's alarming about this, Roz, is that it's already happened in Iran about 6-8 months ago, whenever it was, not too long ago. The Iranian people awakened, and their currency had been devalued basically 50%. So if they had $10,000 in the bank, let's say, they now had $5,000 purchasing power with the same amount of money. And because
right.
we're on paper currency here, it means nothing. It's just paper. It's
mm-hmm.
not backed up by anything. It's not no longer a silver certificate where you can go and exchange it. It's nothing. It's just paper. And for O'Reilly to talk about the collapse of a dollar, to me, is extremely alarming. Combined with that is the gun control measures, which the government is desperately trying to do. And there's a reason for this, because as long as the American people are armed, they can't overrun the populace. The New World Order can't. As long as people can form some sort of a militia, and by the way, that was all in the Founding Fathers put it there for us to do. Basically, the tyrannical government of Great Britain was taxing the American people, and they just had enough, and they said no more, taxation without representation. That's why we went. Well, we are now taxed to death in this country.
Yeah.
Everything our forefathers have fought for in the American Revolution, for the most part, is specifically regarding taxes. It's just absurd.
Mm-hmm.
We did never pay taxes into this country. There was no Federal Reserve in this country until 1913. The Federal Reserve has nothing to do with our government. It's a cartel of international bankers which come together, and basically they control what happens in this country. And until the United States, the people in the United States decide to make a decision to kick the Federal Reserve out and to at least review the Federal Reserve, and this is something both Rand Paul and Ron Paul have tried to do,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, gotten nowhere. JFK was actually killed, in my opinion, because he was trying to dismantle the Federal Reserve, dismantle the CIA, and get us out of Vietnam. Strike three, you're out. And that was a public assassination, not orchestrated by Lee Harvey Oswald, but
right.
I believe by elements in our government, and so many other people. We look at all this. We look at the New World Order. We look at Agenda 21, which is incredibly alarming. And the country is at a precipice, Roz, and either the American people will wake up and stop looking at the clown of the week. For instance, this week the clown is Prince Harry, where they're just talking, I killed someone in Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah.
Why should I care about what anything Prince Harry does, anything,
yeah,
on any
yeah,
level?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's just absurd. Because the guy's a royal. This is the only reason why he has attained anything, because he's a royal. He's done nothing. It's like Barack Obama getting the Peace Prize. Well, what did you do for it, Barack? You know, organize some county or community service? It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the whole thing is just crazy, crazy. And we have a media that doesn't do its job anymore and give this guy a pass. And meanwhile, he's legislated 800 new laws into the country, of which I have no idea what. He's run up the deficit more than any other president, all the presidents combined. He continues to do so. We are at a precipice in this country. The gun laws already, there are sheriffs in different states who have already told and announced that they will not support the gun laws. And then, of course, we have Obamacare kicking in shortly, which is the largest tax hike in the history of the world. So
yeah.
this is not good news.
No.
It's not good news. And then you combine, and that's just the political stuff in this country, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You look at North mm-hmm. Africa now with, Al-Qaeda and all the stuff that the French are doing in Mali, the hostage crisis in Algeria,
mm-hmm.
the Muslim Brotherhood rising up all over the Middle East, the rampant, rampant anti-Semitism, which is now in through Europe and through the UK. And the problem is this, that unless the American people figure out that Islam may be part of a problem here, a larger problem. And you know, I would love to have a discussion with a moderate imam or a moderate Muslim and tell me where I'm going wrong. But it seems like wherever Islam is, it does not get along with any other religion. And a perfect example of this is a Christian family in Egypt who were sentenced to 15 years in jail for converting from Islam to Christianity. So, okay, I get it, that you can't do that according to the Prophet and Islam, and so they're jailing these people. Well, that's not freedom of religion, and that's a basic right and a basic tenet that we have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. When we allow people of, let's say, the Muslim persuasion into the country, who then are going to flip this on us at some point, and if you don't believe me, go to Dearborn, Michigan, or look at what happened in the UK last week. Where there are areas now which are controlled by people who are Muslims, and if you go there and you don't adhere to their way of life, then you know you're being harassed, and that goes against everything. That's in the UK. It hasn't happened here yet, but that goes against everything America at least was founded on some level. And look, I can make a strong case. Let's just flip the coin. So I'm not picking on Muslims here. Go back before the Martin Luther King era in this country, where blacks were treated in the same way. They were treated mm-hmm. as second-class citizens. If a black person were walking in an all-white community, you know, you better be careful. And then, of course, we have the gang violence in this country. Where so I'm not just singling out Muslims here,
mm-hmm.
but you know, because intolerance is intolerance. If you go to certain places in the cities of the United States of America, you can be killed for just wearing the wrong color shirt. That's crazy.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, there's so much unrest socially, globally, economically, and then when you start to throw in the supernatural aspect, the plethora of UFO sightings, which are happening on much more frequently than I've ever seen them before, encounters, the stuff that comes across my desk now, which make your hair stand up, from people crying out for help, visitations or being touched, encounters, all sorts of crazy stuff. You can't make this stuff up. And that all happens, of course, behind the scenes. But there's a lot more ministry going on in the last 6 months than ever before, as people cry out and look for help and try to get out of what they're involved in. So that's just a thumbnail sketch of what is happening. And, I mean, it's just extremely alarming. It's a progression of things. We're not – the tipping point hasn't happened yet. But we're getting closer to it. And at some point,
Right. Life
as we know it, and unfortunately I believe this, will change and change incredibly dramatically. Let me close with this. I've talked about this on your show, and I've blogged about this incessantly. The idea of an electromagnetic pulse weapon, an EMP bomb. You explode one of those things and over the heartland of the United States, and everyone's back in the Stone Age. And the computers don't go on, and the cell phones don't ring, and the electrical grid is down. And the casualty rate is about 90% within the first year. There's a 90% die-off in the first year of the population because people can't sustain themselves. There's no food. The trucks don't run. Life as we know it stops. And so people don't get that. And that's why I'm constantly harping on people 6 months to a year. I used to say 4 to 6 months. 6 months to a year worth of food. 6 months. There's a guy, I downloaded his video yesterday. He's got a tenth of an acre. A tenth of an acre. You know how small that is? A tenth of an acre, okay? And in that tenth of an acre, he grows enough food to support his entire family, canned food, and now he's selling it to organic restaurants. So don't tell me it can't be done, because it can be done. And people need to understand that if this thing collapses, if the unthinkable happens, if an EMP happens, there's a 90% kill rate. Because life as we know it, it's over. It's over. We're back to horse and buggy pre-industrial revolution days. That's what we're back to. Very alarming.
It reminds me of, because, you know, I live on the East Coast and I see a lot of Amish and, you know, they're not, you know, as they're modern, but they're not modern like we are. And
sure.
it wouldn't matter to them in the least.
Wouldn't affect them. No,
not at all.
They carry right on. Yeah,
most definitely. And I think people, you know, and you've been on the program so many times, and I've heard you other places, you know, and you know, one of the times that we talked about this, you had said, you know what, how many times you go to a store and you see, you know, 10 for 10 rat cans of ravioli, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can save up for this.
And it's
not impossible.
You know, my garden, Roz, right now is at the point where this evening all we'll do, we'll eat everything from the garden. I mean, that's our meal. We made some potato, carrot, onion, garlic soup, all out of the garden. And then I went out and cut some really nice fresh broccoli heads, which have just come up, and we'll have that. We're making broccoli soup for tomorrow. And then we'll have lettuce from the garden tonight along with the soup. I'm done. I mean,
there
you know,
you
it's just unbelievable the stuff you can do with a little bit of effort. You know, and I have a very busy schedule. So, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Sure. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was not only, you know, with the way the economy's going and what's going on globally, it just seems like these killings are, you know, to me, it's just a way for the government to try and take our firearms. But at any rate, you know, I don't know about you, but I mean, maybe I'm a little slow. But you know, I put two and two together, and I'm like, you know, these poor kids or children that are being, you know, shot in these schools, and you know, I did a little bit of research, and I'll tell you what, to me, these are looking like ritualistic bloodshed that are just called accidents.
Mm-hmm.
They're just that's what they're labeling them, accidents, you know, 9/11,
yeah.
Ritualistic bloodshed, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. I mean, all the, again, this is, I believe, orchestrated on some level to collect the guns, get rid of the Second Amendment. And as I blogged about the day after the shooting, there's no way in a million years you could have stopped that shooting with any type of legislation. And all the legislation in the world will not stop this type of violence. It's just not going to happen. You can't, you know, look, and the proof of the pudding of that is the nutcase in China the same week or the week prior.
Yeah, the week prior, yeah.
Sandy Hook massacre walked into a school in China with a knife and started stabbing people. See, you can't legislate this stuff. And we don't know enough about Sandy Hook. There are some very troubling details which I find hard to believe. At the top of the list is apparently none of the parents saw the bodies of their children. I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine that the parents did not see the bodies of the children. The second
mm-hmm.
one is that the reports were that Adam Lanza apparently used a rifle to commit the crime. Well, the rifle was found in the back of the car. There's just a lot of troubling details with the
mm-hmm.
Sandy Hook so-called massacre. I'm not sure what we're looking at yet. Hopefully there were other people who were trying to dig into it, and I know there was a lot of stuff on the websites. And as usual, anyone who begins to say or question the official story, anyone who even questions the official story, is labeled a conspiracy kook. Excuse me. It's we're coming up to the 50th year anniversary of the JFK assassination, and I lived through that, and I watched
yeah.
the people who tried to question the official version of the story labeled as kooks and crazy people and everything else. 50 years later, my wife and I were just in Dallas 3 weeks ago at the conference there,
mm-hmm.
in the Future Congress too.
Right.
And she'd never been to the Grassy Knoll. My first time there was in 2012, and with Rob Skiba and his wife Sheila, we hopped in Rob's car and we dived off to the Grassy Knoll. And when I took her behind the fence, the Grassy Knoll right now is under construction for the 50th year, so they're sandblasting the wall and they're going to give it a facelift, paint it, but they're not going to change anything or the terrain. And it's amazing how they've never touched the area. The area was a crime scene, and when you stand behind the picket fence, which is on the Grassy Knoll, which is where I believe the fatal headshot came from, you are standing less than 60 feet away from that headshot. Less than 60 feet away. And when my wife, when Peggy stood next to me, she just
mm-hmm.
went, oh, my gosh, now I get it. When you're actually there, you get it. So all that to say, I forget what percentage of American people no longer believe in the Lee Harvey Oswald magic bullet, single bullet theory, which was then, you know, foisted on the public, just like 9/11. You know, it's the same thing. Oh, you can't criticize. This is the official version of the story. Mama, we need to
yeah.
go to war in Afghanistan and then go to Iraq. Charge! You know, this whole crazy scenario. And now what is it? You know, 12 years later, we're looking at this thing going, Building 7. Now 12 years later, there's 1,500 architects and engineers who are going, what's going on? So enough of this, you know, we are told that we're supposed to be able to ask questions. And
mm-hmm.
I find some very curious details about Sandy Hook, which are troublesome to me, just like I find troubling details with the Batman shooter. This guy, just take one look at this guy, and he's obviously out of his mind on something. You know, look at the eyes. There's something going on with him which is not normal. All this,
all of them.
You know, you can't say anything about it. If you say anything about it, you're a conspiracy kook. Well, when did this happen? I mean, why can't we ask questions? Isn't this the media's job to ask questions? You know, go back 50 years ago or 60 years ago, the media actually was doing its job. Now it's just like, oh, well, you know, yawn. It's okay. Don't worry about Benghazi. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about no birth certificate. Oh, it's okay. It just amazes
mm-hmm.
me. So the media
mm-hmm.
is really compliant with some of the stuff that's going on. There's an agenda. For instance, the gun control situation.
Of course.
The exchange between Alex Jones and Piers Morgan is just incredible. And unfortunately, Alex lost it towards the end. He really he went over the top, and he was just so full of emotion and passion. It was great, but then he just – and Piers came off looking like he was the one in control. which was unfortunate for Alex. But he made some really, I mean, up to that point, it was almost a knockout, you know, and I really enjoyed it because finally someone's looking at this guy going, you're just a New World Order shill, which is exactly what this guy is. You know, don't give me your little stupid factoid. I love that part when he, you know, don't give me your little stupid factoid about, it's like the fact is you can't legislate this stuff, and it's like we're not giving up the guns, and history shows us over and over and over again, look at Hitler, look at Stalin, look at Mao, they rounded up the guns, and then look at the body count. Look at the body count. 60 million, 70 million, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn and the gulags of Russia, of the old Soviet Union. 60 to 70 million people. You can't even get your head around that.
Mm-mm.
You can't even get your head around it. 60 to 70 million, with an M, people slaughtered in the gulag archipelagos of the former Soviet Union, the death camps of the Soviet Union. 80, 90, 100 million in China. We don't even know how many. Look what's happening in North Korea. You know, don't give me this nonsense. Don't give me this ridiculous factoid stuff and try to pat me on the head like I'm some sort of an idiot. You know, governments can become tyrannical. We know that. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The old Roman maxim, and it's true. And it's like the fact that, you know, somebody stood up to this Pierce guy, this Pierce Morgan guy. I mean, who do you think he is anyway? You know, why is your paradigm right and I'm looked at like I'm the oddball? When this is our Second Amendment, right, which is in our Constitution.
That's right, yeah.
You know, hello, McFly, wake up.
Have you been getting any folks sending you anything on hearing noises more frequently, you know, just gnarling, growling noises?
Yeah, they are. I mean, we follow them as best as possible, but we're not sure what we're looking at, and I mean, it's very, very interesting that they continue, and I'm not sure what these are, but they're there. I mean, we keep getting reports of them, so yeah, alarming.
Right. Wow. I thought it was interesting, you know, this last year with all this Mayan crap, you know, that people were you know, on that kick the world was gonna. And then, you know, Klaus Dohna was on the show, and he just flat out said, it's going to keep going, you know, don't believe it. And it was funny because the thing happened with the elementary school, and India, the women there just are being gang raped. I mean, rape after rape after rape after rape. And, I mean, I'm talking, you know, girls are afraid now to go to school during the – they can't even step out of their house during the day. They can't go to the store. They can't go to school. They can't go to their jobs because they are being raped time and time and time again. And the one 23-year-old girl that was in intensive care, she's now passed on.
They're
saying that you know, she, you know, started it, that, you know, it, the usual I don't want to say every male's like that, but it seems like the usual. You know, I've been in law enforcement. You hear that the male is, or the female is the one who started it. You know, she was doing, and she wasn't. She was just on her way somewhere, and these guys killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just cannot believe how much women are being raped and raped again and raped again and raped again. And I know this has been going on. It just seems like it's becoming more and more, the media seems to be talking about it more and more. You hear more and more about it. And, you know, women are being sacrificed and killed in Africa, which has always gone on, it seems like. You know, their genitals being cut off. You know, and this is just the kind of stuff that, you know, I'm not afraid to talk about. And I want people to know this. This is going on, and it's going to come here.
Yeah.
You know, and this has got to, I mean, it's got to stop, L.A. It's disgusting. These are, I understand that these women are in another country, and they probably serve a god with four arms and eight legs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's still a female species. This shouldn't, you know, my own kind that shouldn't be raped again and again by a group of guys.
Yeah, it's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare scenario, but you're right. It is coming here, and it has. We've seen the same type of stuff happen in this country, and the problem is this, and this is, you can make a real strong case for this, that women traditionally have enjoyed the greatest freedom and the greatest liberty where Christianity is preached.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a real strong case for that. You just go around the world and look at all the countries who abuse their women and look what religion they practice, and then look at what women have traditionally in Europe and in North America, and there's been exceptions to that, I get it, but women, and it's because of a Christian underpinning in the culture which promoted this. That's where it's from. And these other countries, women are treated because of what their religion. Look, until the Brits stopped allowing the Indians to in India to burn their wives alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they used to do. And I don't
right.
think a lot of Americans are aware of that. But
right.
that's what they used to do. They used to burn the women alive because that was their method of divorce, because their religion allowed them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, folks. I mean, that is just off the hook crazy. And so, you know, we are told in Scripture that, you know, now there is neither Greek, what is it, you know, Jew or Greek, basically, free or slave, man or woman, but we're all one under Messiah. And when that was penned almost 2,000 years ago, that is an absolute revolutionary concept. It is. It's a revolutionary concept. Never before seen, never before even thought of. The whole paradigm of that is revolutionary. Now, have we lived up to that? Of course we have not lived up to that. But it's there. The mandate's there. That's what we're supposed to do. Christian men are supposed to lay their lives down and love their wives as Christ loved the church.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, it's the only book that says that. There's no other book on this planet which says that. No other book. That's revolutionary. That's mind blowing. Love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can make a real strong case that the solution to this is the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The solution to the world's problems is the God of the Bible. The solution to all the craziness that we see is the morality and the ethics and the spirituality which is taught in the Bible. The answer to the world's problem is a personal relationship with the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. That's the solution. That's the answer. I mean, I can't say it any plainer than that. That's the answer.
Of course not.
Unfortunately, in the United States, we've taken God out of the political arena. We legislate against him. We've got the ACLU running around making sure that you don't have any type of church and state thing happening on any level. And you know what? At some point, this is the nexus of the next civil war, because there's, you know, 53 million people supposedly voted for Obama, and that in itself is. Could be challenged, because we know that there was widespread voter fraud. I mean, we know that. O'Reilly covered that also.
Mm-hmm.
There was widespread. How can you get 100% voting in a county? Well, that's statistically impossible. Everybody
yeah.
lockstep and voted for Obama. It's just absurd. So we know that voter fraud happened. Again, the media didn't cover it. If it had been a Republican thing, we'd never hear the end of it. But the media didn't cover it. But there's 50 million people who didn't vote for Obama. The country is split along ideological lines. And at some point, when pushed too far, people begin to react. We are taxed to death. We work 3 to 4 months for the government. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And this country wasn't founded on that. And what that does is, in order to actually get free of the system, one must earn an inordinate amount of money, like well over. In order to really get free of the system, you got to earn at least $1 million, at least. At least $1 million. And all that's going to do is cover, you know, it'll cover mortgages and you know, land and all that stuff and give a person some sort of a buffer. But $1 million today isn't like it was, you know, 50 years ago. It's not that much money. But that's what it takes to get away from the system to where, you know, you can actually survive. The rest of us who work, you know, 50, 60-hour weeks, and then at the end of the year, I've got my profit in my Spire Life account. Come April, most of that goes right to the government to pay for my taxes. So the government takes the profit that I would make. I take all the risks. It's all my hard work right? Everything. Everything is up to me. No one's here doing this. There's no government incentives. You know, I don't have any employees. It's my wife and myself. I'm writing the books. I'm doing the talking. I'm running around doing all this stuff. We work, we work, we work. We produce watchers, all this stuff, right? And no one's doing this. I don't have a loan from the government that allows me to go out and make these films. We make them on our own. There's no grant that I get to do this. You know, there's no government agency helping me to do this. I work. I take all the risks. And at the end, when I'm rewarded with sales and financial remuneration for my work, I make a profit. Gee, that's what I'm in business to do. And then there's the government with their little hand, their big fat hand out, and they take, what, 20-30% of what I make, which is basically my profit.
Mm-hmm.
And I resent that. I got to tell you, I resent that. I really do. I resent that. And I know that millions of other Americans are resenting that too. Now, I'm not calling for anarchy. Let's make that straight. I'm not talking that we, you know, storm the Bastille like they did in France. But we need to have a dialogue with our representatives. And we need to start having peaceful demonstrations. And we need to stop the madness of this tax and spend out of control government in Washington that acts like they know. Look at Harry Reid. Look at Obama. You know, they're so arrogant. They think that, you know, like Obama kept saying during the well, you know, the rich people are going to have to, those who are rich have to give a little more. It's like, what? I mean, where is this from? Where is this ideology coming from? You want to talk about class envy? I mean, I could go on this rant for the next hour. But, I mean, some of this stuff just has to stop on some level. And the American people need to wake up and stop caring about, you know, what Prince whoever over there is you know, Prince Harry is killing Taliban. What difference does that make to me? Or the fact that Kate's about to have a baby. I mean, the whole thing is so absurd. Someone wrote on my blog, L.A., why do you get so upset with the Royals? You know why I get so upset with the Royals? Because they've done nothing, nothing at all to earn where they are. They are privileged. Everything is given to them, and I resent that. That's why in our Constitution it says specifically that no one can assume any type of a royalty or any type. That it's in the Constitution because it goes against everything the American people, America stands for. Look at Barack Obama. Look at the home he came from. You know, look. I mean, this guy wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Now, granted, there are forces which propelled him to where he was. Like he was on every magazine, and the media did a wonderful job in making sure he was elected. But the bottom line is this: anybody can become president of the United States. Anybody can. You know, this country is amazing because the promise of freedom and liberty to do what we want to do, to pursue our dreams. You know, we might not be successful, but we have the liberty to pursue them. There's nobody sitting there telling us we can't do that. However, with the government becoming bigger and larger and more restrictive, it's becoming to where that pursuit of happiness is getting harder to find.
Yeah, definitely. I'd really like to know who in the world put him back in office because, I mean, really, it's I don't really care for him. It just seems like there were so many people who didn't want him back. And he's back. And Newsweek. I just wanted to know your opinion on the Newsweek thing when they put The Second Coming out. What were you thinking?
It's such an absolute deliberate assault against Christian America. I mean, it really is. It's blasphemous. You know, it's absolutely blasphemous in my opinion. It's just ridiculous.
So They portray him as, I mean, they've already put him, you know, as a symbol with his arms spread out with the thorns around his head, and now they're saying that he's the second coming.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just crazy.
I mean, that's just sickening.
Yeah, it is. No, I agree with you. I mean, it's just wacky, absolutely wacky.
Who would be so as ignorant as to put something like that? And you know, it's another thing's interesting too. LA is that when this disclosure takes place, I would think that a lot of people would probably totally drop the Bible and say, "Oh my gosh, this book is nothing." Mm-hmm. But then also, I think that people will also come to Christ at the same time. Because we're going to need him. I think people are going to see that they're good, they're needing him, and I think that people are noticing now that they're needing him.
Mm-hmm.
And they want him to come back. And I was just thinking about it the other day. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, when this does take place, I mean, there's just going to be so many that are just, because churches don't talk about any of this now.
No, they don't. The church,
they don't
churches
talk.
Are asleep, but they play church. They just
no.
play church. They're asleep at the wheel. Yeah.
And they don't warn about these killings, these accidents. They don't get into the spiritual, the ritual bloodshed. It just amazes me how you know society can't handle ritualistic bloodshed. They you know, walking up the big pyramid and you know, seeing a child's throat sliced for somewhat serpent that walks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know, they'll you know, and this stuff is, it's just called something else. That's all. It's just sickening. It's sickening.
Well, we are, you know, I believe rapidly in the days of Noah, at least on some level. It's like the days of Noah, and, you know, it's only going to get worse. Jesus warns us of the birth pangs that we'll see before he comes back, the wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times. I mean, this is where we are. I mean, we are here, and those people who don't want to you know, look at that and understand and see where we are, then good luck. But I just believe that we are absolutely in that window known as the birth pangs.
There was a gentleman on a couple weeks ago. He does Consciencia Radio. He was on my program, and he was telling us what was taking place down in Mexico. After I got off the phone, I was sick the rest of the night. And what's going on down there is, they're taking women, they're taking babies, ripping them right out of their hands, throwing them underneath the truck, and they're they're driving over them with the trucks. And they're doing this with the elderly. They're also taking the mothers, say they have a child, a boy 10 years old. They're raping the mother in front of the boys. Then they're cutting her up with a machete in front of them. And what they're doing is they're desensitizing them. And some of them get them all in a group, and they actually have them dismantle a human body so they can desensitize them from you know, what they're dealing with, so that they can just go and kill. Like their whole mode is kill mode, you know, that no feeling, nothing, absolutely nothing. And they're just slaughtering, going house to house and just killing, killing, killing.
Yeah, Mexico is not safe anymore. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. The place is a war zone, and it's all because of the drug cartels. And, until the Mexican people rise up and the Mexican government really decides to put an end to this thing, but that's not going to happen because, it's just they're going to import the poison into the United States, and these guys are ruthless. I mean, they are absolutely ruthless. It's evil beyond anything we can imagine, like what you just said. I mean, the mind reels and just can't bring its, you know, this type of evil behavior, because that's what it is. It's evil incarnate. And, you know, it's like, I mean, you couldn't pay me to go to Mexico. I just thank God every day that he told us to stand down and we did not go to Chichen Itza. I mean, I just, you know, thank the Lord that never happened. It's just not safe there in Mexico. Other places in South America, you can still go. You know, they're not like they're not like the Mexican drug cartel. They're not, you know, you can go. But Mexico, forget it. Absolutely forget it. Isn't it amazing? You to think, with all those beaches that they have. I mean, they have some of those beautiful beaches
beautiful,
in the world.
Yeah.
But who wants to go to Mexico? The place is it's a war zone. More people have been killed in Mexico drug wars than Afghanistan and Iraq combined. Next.
And it's like it's coming, it's going to spill over in here, and it's coming here. It is on its way here, if it hasn't penetrated already.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. That's sort of interesting. That's why the gun control stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just saw the a clip on Reuters. You know, Feinstein showing all the guns that we're not allowed to have and all this other nonsense. And it's just like, I don't buy the argument for a minute. I mean, I just do not buy the argument for a minute. Not for a minute do I buy it. You know, guns do not kill people. Crazy people who are whacked out on some kind of drug
kill people.
You know, that's what kills people. And all these shooters, everybody's been on some kind of heavy metal medication. So there you go.
Mean, you know, and that's funny because if you I had someone look up what the highest somebody looked up something for me on the FBI statistics and it's kind of funny what the weapon of choice was, the number one weapon of choice was for the most killings. Can you tell me what that is? You think you
No idea.
Just take a guess.
A shotgun.
No. It was a baseball bat.
Wow. Well, there you go, Roz. There's conclusive proof.
So I guess they're going
to
take
need to
all
outlaw
her.
Baseball. I know it's going to be hard, Roz. I know it'll be difficult because, you know, baseball has been the American pastime. But, you know, it's about safety. As Joe Biden just said, it's not about, you know, control. It's about safety. We need to make sure that our young people and our old people and married people are safe. So we're going to have to dismantle the baseball, which means all the stadiums and the baseball bats and gloves and Little League. It's time, Roz. It really is. It's time that we make the right decision for the country, and we need to ban baseball. You know, Roz, thank you for telling me that because, you know, I'm gonna really work on this, probably on my blog tomorrow, and maybe I'll even do a video. It's time that we really, as a nation, come together and stop the madness. We need to outlaw baseball. There's just no doubt about it, Roz. The statistics are in, and thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, listen to this. While we were talking, I pulled this up. A number of nation sheriffs refusing to enforce unconstitutional gun laws. New Mexico, 30 of the state's 33 county sheriffs have reminded state lawmakers they are under oath to support the U.S. Constitution. CNS News reported 28 of the 29 sheriffs in Utah sent a letter to President Obama stating they will not enforce any new gun laws. Sheriffs in Oregon said the same thing in California, Missouri, Kentucky, mm-hmm. Smith County, Texas, Florida, and it goes on and on and on. And this is what's good. This is what's good because they've hit a nerve here, and maybe people were saying enough's enough. And at some point you just say, look, you know, enough's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my generation stopped the Vietnam War. We did, which was unprecedented. We said, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going and get out of Vietnam. And we kept protesting and protesting. And guess what? They finally got out of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way they did it was all screwed up, but they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Exactly.
They shouldn't have been there in the first place. And the way we got out was absolutely all screwed up. I get that. But, you know, guys, it's just it's time to stop the madness in Washington. I mean, it really is. It's time to stop these guys who are career politicians who do nothing but legislate and then tell us how we're supposed to live. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, ridiculous. Look at all the protesting that was done in your time. I mean, I was born in the 70s. I didn't see it, but just in your time, just why is it that nobody wants to do that now? I mean, especially my generation, because my generation still was, I was born in 72. So even us, we were still, you know, we didn't carry weapons to school. We put combs in the back of our pockets.
Huh.
You know, we, if we wanted to agitate somebody, you know, we flicked them with it. You know, it was just, my generation, even, I don't understand why more and more of them aren't standing up and going down there and speaking their mind. I mean, just getting out there and say, hey, you know, this is enough. is enough, because I get all hot. I mean, I can't. I'm just one voice, you know. I just don't understand. Why not? The things are happening, you know, even, you know, worse than things were taking place probably in your time. Now, why isn't anybody standing up? Is everybody tired? Are they so focused on their TV? Can't they get away from their video game? I mean, you know, granted, I mean, they've done an excellent job by deterring everyone's attention. I mean, come on, shut off your televisions. Get them out of your bedrooms. Get them out of your living rooms. Throw them outside. Wake up. Your world is going by you. And at a fast rate.
Yeah, a really fast rate. Really fast rate.
Just, you know, enough is enough. Talk. Get down there. Let's do something about it. And I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, say, you know, everybody, but darn it, somebody's got to do something.
Couldn't agree with you more. It's time. Time to do something.
You know? I mean, Joyce Meyer fills up stadiums, L.A.
I know. What is she talking about? You know?
You know?
Don't get me going on that. God bless her.
I know, but I'm just using her and all these people as Joel Osteen as an example. Like these people can fill up a stadium full of people, thousands of people. Say something. Don't give them this stuff anymore. Okay, it's time to put the milk aside. Time to give them the meat. You know what? Nobody wants that. They want to be pacified. They don't want to hear that stuff no more. They don't want to get into the meat because they know they got to chew it. They know they got to swallow it. And they don't want to do that. Milk just slides easily.
There you go.
You know, it's just, you know, and it's just like, I'm sorry I'm just going on this rant, but it's just like if future Congress could hold a stadium full of people like that. Oh my gosh, if people would just listen, stop, you know, like I said, get out from under the TV, stop listening to these people, your world's going by you, it's slipping right through your hands, and you're just sitting there doing nothing. Oh, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't see it coming. Well, I showed you the signs, could you not see them, you know? I distinctively sent someone for you to hear, and you sat there. I mean, come on. Let's not be pathetic. You know, I mean, it's just, it really gets to me. It really gets to me what the headlines are today. Prince Harry is all, you know, getting all this credit because he killed somebody.
No, it's just,
like
no,
he
I mean,
was
that's,
playing.
That's Clown of the Week, Roz.
You know,
Clown of the Week. That's a new feature on the blog called Clown of the Week. And you'll notice that sometimes they hold the clown over for 2 weeks. Most of the time it's a week or two. You know, and they'll change. It's
my
not like
gosh.
Every Monday. But, you know, it's about every 10 days they'll change the clown, and that becomes the clown. Look over here. Be distracted here. Oh, what's Lady Gaga doing? You know, what's Paris Hilton doing this
what's
week?
Lance
what's
Lance Armstrong
OJ doing?
Doing
in jail? Right. So it's just ridiculous.
You know, okay, Lance Armstrong, you know, everybody's making a big deal
about
him. Okay, so
he was, that's why I started it. Lance was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now this week is Prince Harry. Yep. Isn't that great?
You know, so
crazy
it's just
stuff,
like
Roz.
People are saying he doped up and lied and everything else, okay? now we've got somebody being glamorized because they killed someone.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy stuff.
You know? I mean, there's people out there suffering, women being raped, babies being murdered, you know, every single day. You know, just
crazy. Talking to the choir.
I know I am. I'm just, you know, what do you do? You read Psalm 91. That's what you do.
You read Psalm 91. Yeah,
that's right.
That's what you do. That's about all you can do.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's been a long time since you've been on.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know you've
so
been really busy.
With the schedule, so.
I know you've been really busy, and you know we all appreciate you know what you do and getting you know that information out because it wouldn't get out otherwise. Hey, can you tell everybody the TV show? What's that? Christian World Daily.
Well, WorldNet Daily is carrying the Watcher series now, which is great, and you know, Prophecy of the News is also carrying it, and other Standeo is carrying it, Dr. Stan Monteith, Radio Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We keep expanding, and we're working on Watcher 6 right now, which is really good. And, you know, we're just trying to get the word out, and people are paying attention. So the fact that WorldNet Daily is carrying all five of the series is great. Sid Roth mm-hmm. carried it for a while, but they, for whatever reason, Watchers 4 and 5 was too much or too intense for them, and so they passed on it. And that's fine. They can do whatever they want to do. But, you know, WorldNet Daily is and Prophecy of the News, they love the stuff, and they love what we do, and they believe that we're sort of on the cutting edge. And while the material is very dark, look at the 6 o'clock news, folks. We're trying to give you answers, and that's what Watchers is about. And I think Watchers 6 will be more of the same. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. So that's something we can look forward to.
Yeah, coming up.
From you. So, well, I'm thankful that you're out there getting this stuff out there, L.A., and, you know, I want to extend that to your wife as well, because I know she's having to sacrifice you, and you know, it's good that she can go with you as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's really great.
And thank her for letting me get you for an hour.
No problemo.
On the show, and, you know, hopefully, you know, in the near future, we'll be able to have you back on here again soon.
Well, thanks for having me on, Roz. God bless you, and thank you for what you do, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, L.A.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Not exactly sure what happened to Russ. I'll have to get a hold of him. But I just want to thank everybody for listening to the show, and you know, please pray and ask, you know, Father, what you can do. This is really important. This is really important. Just, you know, it's really hard to say anymore. I mean, you go in day by day and you just see it all just going away. But I know that we're all citizens of another place, and I know it's a lot better there. And if it wasn't like it was in my dream, I will go there any day. You know, I just wanted to tell everybody, you know, just read Psalms 91 and learn it and understand it and hold on to it. It's a very powerful psalm, and, you know, I know that we all love the Lord, and I know that we're just waiting. You know, we're waiting for him to come back, but in the meantime, we need to be about his business. And I know the days, it's hard, because I know it's hard for me. You know, I have a family, and but, you know, we got to do something because this is all getting ready to come to a head. I can feel it. I can so feel it. It's not too far off. And you want to make sure that you're underneath him, underneath his wings for shelter. And well, Dorothy, you have anything to say?
No, I think you guys did a great job covering everything, and
good.
I agree, sweet. This world is not our home, and
yeah.
Does seem like we're just waiting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's difficult just waiting, but
I know, right? But you know, yes, I mean, he's with us.
He's with us.
And you know, it's funny because I was thinking the other day when I was driving to work, I was thinking, you know, the people that were here when he was here, they were very fortunate because they saw him, they heard him teach. You know, they were there when he passed on the cross. They saw him go through it. And that must have been difficult to see our Father die in the flesh. You know what I mean? But know that he's risen again. That's what's exciting. You know what I mean? He's risen again. He's you know, the Son is alive. He's here. But it's also interesting in this day, too, to be around, you know, God willing, if we're here, to see him come back, you know, through the clouds. And it's also a good time to see the miracles that he is performing, you know, that he's doing, that the Lord is doing now in this day and time. And I think that as the dark tries to come through, the light will show more, even more, and more things will be happening on that side as well. So that's exciting to see, or wanting to see as well, is his word in working as it always has been, but in a time like the time that's coming, you know, to see someone back down because they hear the word of the Lord come out of your mouth, where you could have perished, where they stopped what they were doing because you said something and got on their hands and knees because they, you know, and people have told me that that's happened to them, you know, and it's just, it's wow, just his word is so powerful. It is so powerful and like beyond our brain, you know. So I mean, you know, we're coming into some exciting times as well, and more people are gonna, you know, come to him and you know, he knows who his babies are, and he won't, you know, he won't budge until he's got who he wants. And it's just amazing to be here around this time. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And we've got to remember, as the times do get more and more difficult, that he is still on the throne. He is still large and in charge. So
that's right.
Even when things are looking terrible, he's still in control. So
right. And no hair upon our head can be touched until he allows it. Not one.
And no weapon formed
shall prosper. That's right. That's right. That is right. So amen for that. But I know it's difficult. Let's be real here. I mean, you know, it is really hard to keep your focus, but as time goes on, it's going to be harder because there's going to be more, just even more distraction to get us away from that Bible. So, you know, the people who are in occults are more ritualistic and continue to pray to their gods probably more than the average Christian does. So, I mean, we need to, like, ramp it up here and keep our faith where it needs to be, because that's the only thing that's going to protect us from his word. That's it, from any of this mess that's coming. And pray, please. Pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in other countries. You know, they're being slaughtered left and right. I know that this has been going on for centuries, but that doesn't mean we can't pray for them. That doesn't mean we can't ask for their safety and the times that they're in. And we need to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters here as well. No, maybe some of the stuff that's going on here isn't happening, that are going on other places happening here, but I like to pray ahead of time, you know, because I've heard that, or I've learned that prayers that, you know, our grandparents or our grandparents before that have said for us that have probably covered us in our lifetime, and prayer is a very, very strong weapon. We all know that, and we need to do more of it. Just, you know, we can't do it at the last minute and just say, oh, Lord, please come and save us. No, he's given us time now. So we all need to do it. I'll be the first one to say it's really hard, but, you know, got to make time. Really got to make time.
And just keep including him in our thought processes, too.
Exactly. Thankful. Be thankful for everything. Everything. And praise him and glorify him in all that we do. All of it. I mean, I do that with my boy, Connor, you know. Make sure that you, you know, you cannot do this without him. You are not doing this on your own. This is the Lord, you know. Praise him. Praise him for all things, you know, and I'm hammering that into him, trying to help him to understand that, you know, that he needs to, and we need to make sure, you know, we just need to make sure that we do that. You hit the nail on the head with that one, Dorothy.
Yeah, it's important to pass it on to the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened if it hadn't been passed on to us, you know? And that's one of the mistakes Israel was making, is that they didn't tell their children, they didn't train their children.
Mm-hmm.
So when these pagan gods came along, it looked interesting. So we need to pass it on and protect our children.
Amen there. Well, all right. We'll keep you posted as to what shows are coming up next. I want to get Dr. Susser on. I know that those of you who have been listening for a long time know who Dr. Susser is. I've had him on the show a couple times just to get us back on, give us some more interesting facts on, you know, what we can do, what kind of resources we have, you know, in a time of crisis where we might not get what we need in the capsule. you know, and to maybe he'll do one of his little drawing things like he had us do before. And head over to Dr. Susser's page. He wrote the good book, To Great Health. And if you find that his supplements are a little too expensive, just give the customer service a call. I believe that's what he said the last time, and he'll work with you on the price. Also, get over to Carabello's Coffees. I had Justin Carabello on my show, a year ago. I've known Justin since I was in first grade. He's helping. He's actually getting coffee from Nicaragua and other places now. And all his profit is going to help younger kids go attend school. The children down there can't afford to go to school. They want to go to college. So he's helping them with his profits go to school. I mean, nobody does that anymore, not Folgers, not Maxwell House, not any of them, you know, big things. And he's got excellent, excellent coffee. I get his coffee. I'm part of the Carabello. He just started a Carabello Coffee of the Month Club. It's only $20 a month, but that $20 helps put a child through school. So he doesn't pocket anything. His coffee is excellent, just actually excellent. So head over to Carabello's Coffee, and on the website, just Google it, Carabello Coffee, you'll find it. He didn't tell me to say this, I'm doing this on my own. Because I like what he's doing. It's helping other people, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help others. Also, head over to Standeo's site, Larry Taylor's blog. He's got some interesting information there, and books, you know, that you might find interesting. Ellie Marzulli blog. You can head over there and see the Sunday Bun on Sundays. He always has, I think right now he's doing a study, and I can't remember, it's really late, and I had it set up on my webpage, and I bookmarked it, and I can't even remember right now. I'm really tired. You have to excuse me. Head over to LA's blog. A lot of information on there. Gosh, who else? Go over to the light. Yeah, I was just getting ready to say
the
lightgate. The lightgate.com. Head over there. Stuart's got all kinds of stuff up there. All kinds of information, audio stuff, that helps, him do his projects. Very full information. Also, go over to Klaus Dona's website. You'll have some, there's new information up there. I'm just trying to think. If I forgot anybody, Steve Quayle, he had some pretty interesting information. Oh, and go to alexanderbachman.com. He's got all kinds of information up there. I'm going to try and get him back on the program. He does Consensia Radio. He was on my program a couple of weeks ago.
We may not be able to get him on. If you notice, he posted about Skype having a virus in it. So
yeah, but for some reason, he's still on my Skype.
Busy?
Yeah, so I'm going to email him and try and get him back on the program. I spoke with Augusto Perez, and he said that he would come on with him. So I'm going to try to get them together.
That would be an extremely interesting show, the two of those guys.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to get them on together. So that's probably what I'm going to work on after Dr. Sessor. I got to get Dr. Sessor on. We got to keep our health going. That's very important. It's part of our being able to stay well, and we're supposed to take care of our buddies anyhow.
Which is getting more and more difficult.
Exactly. So at any rate, all right, well, I'm going to close out the show. Is there anything else you'd like to say? Or
no, just Father bless everybody, and thanks for coming. And
yeah,
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Father bless, and I just pray everybody, just keep your eyes open, listen, just get quiet and listen, and just keep praying. Just keep praying. Our family isn't what's in front of us. Our Christian family is huge, and we need to pray for each other. We got to stick together. We have got to stick together. That's so important. We cannot let the enemy split us apart. So everybody, I just want to say thank you for joining us again tonight. Thank you, L.A. Marzulli, for coming on the program. Hopefully we'll find out what happened to Russ Izdar. And I just pray that everybody have a blessed week, and stay tuned for future shows. God bless. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.